Well, we feel in South Carolina. I hope whatever you are up to this morning and wherever you have been, maybe dropping the kids off, maybe you're like me, you've got sick people in the house that you're all at once trying to avoid and run to the pharmacy and back before showtime. Maybe you got a workout in this morning, you got the pump going. Maybe you're on your way to a big meeting. And you are dressed, you got the drip going like Ric Flair. But whoever you are, and however good you feel, you probably don't feel like Luke Young from Clinton High School today, who I guess is still floating, still signing autographs, still basking in the glow of his walk-off homer to claim the state championship, the fourth in Clinton Red Devils history. That is a community that loves its heroes. And Luke Young is a hero this week in Clinton. I'm Matt Smith. That's Rob Williams. Rob Williams knows a little something about being a hero to the community. And Rob, I didn't know exactly how everything played out. We are going to tell that story in just a moment, but you obviously do our Four Quarter Friday morning minute. So you got that, you got the details very quickly. And I'll go over those details in just a moment. But I've been saying baseball always delivers. How much fun is it? I joined this show, then you joined this show, and it seems like every week there are buzzer beaters, there are walk-offs, there are commitments. Like, it, when you're in it like we are, and I hope that everybody is that is joining us and wants to be with it, especially when we kick off this website, fourquarterfriday.com. I mean, the South Carolina athletic scene, it's hot right now.
No doubt about it, Smitty. I mean, it's Friday morning, and we're here. We're excited. We're with you. You're with us. Smitty's on a roll this morning, an absolute heater of a monologue to get us going, and it mirrors the heat that we see off of the field or the court. Or yeah,
you,
I got
you. Don't know what's in this cup.
That's true. That's true. You never know what a little. What kind of boosts you got going over there?
Boost. That's right.
That's what we'll call it. No, seriously, you're absolutely right. It's something not just every week, but almost every day, Smitty. And you know, you asked the question and somebody, I think a couple people have said, like, how do you have content for throwing up something on the morning minute every day? Mm-hmm. I'm not even scratching the surface. Like it's not the hard part is, okay, which things am I going to say? And full disclosure, it's never a minute. It's always more than a minute. Now, at some
point. All right, we're going behind the scenes here now. Rob is letting it. Yeah, so when you look up at that little timer, you're like, man, he went like 90 seconds. What are you doing, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a day last week when the state championships finished up when it was a good 2.5 minutes. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't. There's no way to read through all softball and baseball, and I didn't even really comment on anything. It's just trying to get through everything. Excuse me. Yeah, it's excitement happening all the time. And now we're in summer, and it still keeps going, Smitty, because we have 7-on-7s, we have camps at Clemson and South Carolina, we have commitments happening, we have flips happening, we have official visit weekends at these Power Four schools. And you have tons of guys that are being courted and camping and committing to all levels of schools. And we want to cover everything. So, you know, we're not just I've said this a few times. We're not just the low-hanging fruit blue chippers around here. We're highlighting South Carolina Palmetto State boys and girls who are committing across the board. So, there's no shortage. There's no shortage of information and definitely no shortage of excitement because these young men and women like to keep it exciting for us. It's like you said, in Clinton.
My antenna went up. I know everybody else's did too. Uh-oh, the flip. We'll get back to the flip in a few minutes with Rob. All right, so on today's show, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, we have got Corey Helms, new head coach for Chapin High School. You may remember him. He was a big-time player, offensive lineman at South Carolina, went on, got a little short stint in the NFL in the highest league as well, came back to our state and started coaching, and he's been at Cardinal Newman and Pelion, and now he is the head coach at Chapin, which, Rob, you've said is a sleeping giant. So we'll talk about that. We've got him coming up on the Leading Edge guest line. But first, here's what got me so excited. So let's tell this story for Clennon winning their fourth state championship, second in the last 4 years. But, I mean, it was already great. It was already great. We had already been talking on last week's show about, so James Island, since last week, claimed game three and got their state championship. I think that's the eighth under Matt Spivey. So congratulations to the Trojans. Congratulations to Dorman as well for a fantastic season. We loved having Jack Jolly on. We love tracking their players, Palmer Hornick and Carter Nash and more. We've got plenty we can say. States Farr, who's a player you love, the speedster. And we talk about Taj Marchand from James Island and everybody else. I mean, that was like an all-star game, that series. James Island comes out on top. Congratulations to Chapin, winning their 12th state championship. Congratulations to AC Flora in and they claim another state title. Congratulations to Southside Christian and Scott Freeman. Carson Bowman now will be on to a minor league team near you, most likely. Congratulations to Latta, who continues to just put more hardware in their trophy case on the baseball side. Big time baseball community. Congratulations to Latta, the Fighting Phil Kornblutes, the Latta Vikings. I'm sure they have a statue there for him. But let's tell the story in 2A. So this happened after, because there was rain, and so Clennon ended up, they were supposed to host game one. They ended up going down to the coast, to Conway, to the seat of Horry County. I guess they played in Myrtle Beach, the Ripken baseball park. But here's how Clennon ends up winning the 2A state title in front of their home fans. In a fashion as dramatic as you will ever see. So that is Luke Young at the plate. Tie game. Slider. Gone.
Look at the celebration, too. Like,
and the disappointment and then the elation for Luke Young. And watch his teammate.
Yeah,
and that's the town of Clennon there in the backdrop. There's nothing happening except this game.
I was just going to say, if we back it up somewhere right in here, look at the trucks out there beyond the fence.
Yep.
Everybody in the tailgate, standing up. You got tents out there. If that doesn't scream small town baseball in Clennon, South Carolina, shout out. I'll give one right here. Shout out to Dempsey's Pizza on the fence right there.
There you go.
Right
there. There you go.
Love it. Love it. We'll give him a free plug because it's so good.
Yeah, so you are – so here we go. Here's full disclosure. Full disclosure. Rob, you're from Union. I went to Dorman, so I was in Spartanburg. I mean, Clennon's like our neighbors. Yep. Like we know Clennon.
Absolutely.
We know those people. Like you said, we've eaten in those restaurants. Something was always going on in Clennon. You had to go there for something. I called games at Presbyterian College for a while. It's like Clennon's right there. If you're in the upstate, as a matter of fact, if you're like in Greenville, Clennon's right there.
Yeah.
We know you guys.
10 minutes. I grew up closer to Clennon High School than I did to Union County High School where I went to school. But, you know, I was inside Union County, so that's where I went. But I could have gotten there in 10 minutes. It was.
Yeah, but,
you know, my exit off 26 was 52 right there at the split with 385. That's Clennon, South Carolina.
So if you were in, because Clennon is one town, one team, and we say small community, you know, the demographics have changed over the years in South Carolina. Clennon was larger before, but it's not like we know you guys. If you live in Spartanburg County, if you live in Greenville County, like, you know, those Lawrence County people, if you live in the Midlands.
Yep.
Clennon's not far from you. So we, like, right off I-26, we know you guys, and it's been such an athletic power. And when they're down, like in football, what's the talk? What's wrong with Clennon football? When are they going to get back? What are they going to do? So what a contrast between the two programs. And you saw there the elation and the disappointment, those are the life lessons right there. Atlantic Collegiate, founded in 2023. Now, they've hit the scene, and they have looked to make their mark, and they have done that. They play their home games at the state-of-the-art Ripken Baseball Facilities in Myrtle Beach. They took the name Armada. Like, they're coming, they're here, and congratulations, because what they set out to do, they are doing. They are getting it done on the baseball field. That's how they've attacked the building of their baseball program. They knew they'd have to do it, you know, and attract players, and they've done it, and assembling just an arsenal of talented players. And we'll talk about those players too. But this is what we love about high school athletics in our state and the clash of styles. Clinton, on the other hand, and you said it, is there a more classic, you know, one town, one team, tight-knit community? Everybody knows who runs the local hardware store. Everybody knows who's got the pizza place. Everybody knows where each other goes to church. Their athletic history dates back more than a century. And as I said, Clinton, it's a name that resonates. The Clinton Red Devils resonates across this state. Their fans have a reputation, too. They support it. When there's a big game, the town shutters. They head to the ballpark, as you saw, and they line up the trucks and they put out the tents. And just like the matchups in other classifications, we had an incredible group of championship series. There were storylines everywhere you were, you looked. So Tanner Finley takes the hill. He's a senior for Clinton. His younger brother leads off. So Tanner's taking the ball. He goes out for a scoreless first. His younger brother comes to the plate, Camden. He leads the game off with a double. He scores in the first, drives in a run in the second, and then in the fifth, he walks, steals second, and he scores there. Meanwhile, Tanner's going back out, giving them all he's got on the mound. His older brother pitches into the sixth. Both those brothers, Finley family has plenty to be proud of, all state by the South Carolina Baseball Coaches Association. So Atlantic Legion is down early. They fight back to knot it up 4-4. The game is tied in extra innings. They go to the eighth. At this point, when the video we just showed, Clinton had four hits. Just four hits, okay? Logan Newcomb then takes the ball for Atlantic Collegiate. Newcomb is one of the state's top, and just the name, one of the state's top prospect. He's committed to play center field for Coastal Carolina next year. So that's kind of a player he is. He stares down Luke Young, all-state catcher for Clinton. And like a Hollywood script, the catcher. It's always the catcher, right? Newcomb leaves a slider over the middle of the plate. Luke Young drives it over the fence. You saw the result of that. A walk-off in front of the town. He's 18 years old. And he just authored one of the greatest moments in Red Devils sports history, which I told you goes back more than a century. The town is dark, except for the lights on you. You dig in against one of the biggest arms in the state. Your mouth is dry, butterflies in the stomach. You silence the voice in your head, dig in against a hard-throwing righty, then stay back on the breaking ball and let your muscle memory do the work. I am so impressed. I love that moment so much. And I said we were going to love on everybody. But look, there, Eli Chowning, he's an outfielder for Atlantic Collegiate. He's already committed to Chad Holbrook in the College of Charleston. He goes 3-for-4 with a couple of RBIs. But it was Clinton's day. The Finley brothers, Luke Young, they deliver for their teammates. They deliver for their town. And I am excited because we just witnessed a fantastic finish. 3 weeks of baseball playoffs. And from the play-in series, when T.L. Hanna stayed alive and went all the way
right
to the state championship series. From that moment, from Spartan High, who fought from a play-in series, all the way to the upper state finals against the powerhouse Dorman. All of those things. So Latta, James Island, Chapin, A.C. Flora, Southside Christian. And now, congratulations to Clinton. Colleges, by the way, come get him. So Luke Young's story is, so you know I mentioned some colleges in there and some commitments. Luke Young was considering reclassifying. I don't know where that story is now, but he was considering reclassifying. So it depends on where you look, whether or not he's classified 2026, 2027. But he's got 14 homers, batted over 500, and just had a walk-off to win the state championship. He's uncommitted. Phone line's open.
Yeah, that's not a bad stat line. You just saw, and I think that one of the immeasurable things that we forget often in recruiting, Smitty, is what kind of what you just outlined. It's the mental element, where that's so much of the game, especially in the game of baseball. But you can make this argument really in any sport.
Free throws at the end of a game.
Yep.
All of this.
Do you know how to win? Do you have poise in the moment? But this kid, Luke Young, just displays it right there for you. You just laid it out. And the story doesn't get any better. I mean, come on. How do you draw it up? I mean, it's extras. It's a state championship game. You're at home.
At home. And if you and I, they said, okay, Smitty, Rob, you guys know high school ball around here. Start talking to us about maybe a small town, and there's going to be a big moment and a walk-off home, or what town would you pick? Clinton's one of the ones that we would consider.
No doubt. No doubt. And I think that you can see that. We kind of pointed it out in the video, but the trucks lining the outfield fence, the crowd that's there all behind the backstop that you can kind of get a glimpse of in the bleachers, it displays exactly what you would expect from a small town where everything stops. We've talked to multiple coaches and programs about football, but a state championship in baseball is going to stop a few towns in their tracks around here too. And I think you could really see that the atmosphere throughout these baseball playoffs. You know, we had Austin Alexander on here to talk about it at, you know, what was it like at Duncan Park? I was at AC Flora against Airport to kind of see what that one was like. And by the way, that one got really chippy as those games continued. By game three at Airport, they had a nice little barricade between the two fan bases. Because there's a lot of passion, and that's what we're here for, Smitty. You and I are here for, the passion of the fan bases. Because we have a giant spotlight that we are, as we're talking about Clinton this morning, that we're shining on your community, whoever you are out there listening and watching and maybe seeing this later on in the day or catching a clip. We are shining a giant spotlight on your community, because so many of these communities in South Carolina are super special and need the airtime. And we we're just like we're talking about Clinton right now. There's hundreds of small towns across the state where we could make this a similar argument. But you can't do that across the country. There's only certain places, and South Carolina is one of them. That's why we continue to point it out and continue to gush about it. Because for us, and maybe for you, if you've lived in this state your whole life and you haven't really you haven't really been out of South Carolina that often, maybe it's just same old to you. Maybe it's just become normal. But we're here to remind you that this is special. You don't get this everywhere else. And this, inside of these borders, there's a special brand of athletics at the high school level.
I couldn't agree with that more. All right, two things I want to go over with you, Rob, before we get to Corey Helms on our Leading Edge guest line. Again, Corey Helms is taking over at Chapin. And I'll ask you about that second. But first, you said flip earlier. Tell us, I saw this on the Four Quarter Friday. The first I heard of it, most people are tracking, if you track recruiting, but we track it from the high school side in our state. Players that are going to make impacts on the field in our state next year. And tell us the story, the big flip this morning. And you just gave us a little bit on the morning minute. So go ahead, have at it here. What you know about Jaden Bryant flipping.
Yeah, well, you know, this has been the story of the week, I think, in the state of South Carolina. The number one player on edge from Irmo, Jaden Bryant, was committed to LSU. There was a lot to be said about his recruitment. You know, there was some buzz about a month ago that some other teams were getting into the mix. I've seen Jaden Bryant work out. I've seen him in practice. I've seen what he can do in game action as well. And but seeing his personality, he's a big personality. He is a command the room type of personality. He is going to be talking to his teammates. You hear him on the practice field as soon as a team takes the field out there at Irmo. So, just kind of, you know, that's the type of guy that he is, a laid back, charismatic, big personality type of kid, dancing around during practice, really loose, loves the game, having a good time. Earlier in the week, you know, South Carolina is having Shane Beamer camps this week. Coach Sweeney has camps at Clemson this week as well. Well, Bryant was at South Carolina. There was an announcement made that he was going to reschedule a visit for later in the summer. I think he was scheduled for July, maybe, or the end of June. Anyway, he was scheduled to come in later to South Carolina and rescheduled it to this weekend. There are official visitors on campus at South Carolina this weekend, Smitty. Hours after, he reminded everybody that he was firm in his commitment to LSU. And then a few hours after that, the announcement was made that he flipped to Miami and was shutting everything down. No more visits, nothing. This is another level of recruiting that we probably should talk about at some point. There is the commitment, which used to be like, hey, I'm locked in with you. But there's another level for these young men that is, my recruitment is shut down. There, when, you know, it's kind of like dating, Smitty. When you're dating, you can be dating someone but not be exclusive. The commitment these days is more of the, hey, we're dating, but we're not. We haven't said it's exclusive yet.
Mm-hmm.
So when a young man says that recruitment is shut down, he's essentially taking no more contact. So that's the situation with Jaden Bryant to Miami. Recruitment shut down. We are working on trying to get some time with him here on Four Quarter Friday. Just to talk about what it was about the Canes and why he decided to shut it down at this time, you know, as we,
and this is someone
summer
and so Jaden Bryant, impact player, as we said, for Irmo, he's someone that just the way it was going, even though he was committed to LSU, Rob, the way you've told it is what South Carolina and Clemson felt like they were still somewhat in it. Like this is going to go to the finish line.
I think there was a handful of schools that felt like they could get into it. South Carolina being in close proximity there with Irmo, I think, you know, had maintained regular contact and felt like the relationship was good. But, yeah, there's – I mean, the people at Florida, at the University of Florida, would have said they felt good, pretty good about it about a month ago as well. So just kind of a mixed bag of teams that could get in there. But ultimately it was Mario Cristobal – and the Canes, Jason Taylor is there, you know, to talk about an edge player. So we'll see. But incredible first step. Like I said, he's an insane athlete. He's got the size. He's got the build. He's got the quickness. He's got the strength. He's got the personality to be entertaining and really capture that Miami essence and spirit that is down there in South Beach. So
if he performs, they'll love him there because of that personality.
I think so. I think he kind of thrives in that a little bit. And so we'll see. One more piece of news. This is flipping it a little bit, but we didn't mention, we did a lot of baseball talk, and I'll say this before we get over to Coach Helms, is at AC Flora, obviously Andy Hallett ending his tenure there, now at Midland STEM as the head baseball coach and athletic director. Travis Poole, Blythewood's Travis Poole, is the new head baseball coach at AC Flora. So just a little tidbit of news there as the Falcons come off of a state championship and look to kind of keep things hard to be status quo after 30 years of Andy Hallett, but try to keep things steady. Blythewood had a great year last year. We've seen what Poole can do.
We knew it would happen at some point. Andy Hallett, over 600 wins. We knew, and then you had reported, we had talked about Andy Hallett taking the job, as you said, at Midland STEM, which is going to have big-time facilities, apparently. And they're going to build things there. So, Travis Poole, congratulations. You've got a great program. Obviously, big shoes to fill, but not a bad place to take over. And that leads me into the other thing I wanted to ask as we get into Corey Helms on the Leading Edge guest line. Takes the job at Chapin High School. So, Rob, you know, from one Midland story to another, you know, Irmo to AC Flora is a team that seems to just always pop up in terms of athletics. Like their athletic programs have done really well in recent months, recent years. And Chapin is one. Now, this is a team, they just won the 5A Division II baseball championship under Del Lever. and that was dramatic. Awesome series. Knocking off TL Hannah. That was a great series and a great storyline. And congratulations to everybody involved there at Chapin. And you've said to me, kind of the whisper about Chapin is, you know, the football program coming off an 0-10 year, they haven't been good, but maybe a sleeping giant. Just the community's there. It's like looking at a house. It's got good bones, right? Chapin should be better than this. Let's see if they can put it together.
No doubt. And you mentioned the baseball championship. Both soccer teams, boys and girls, played in the state championship, with the girls actually winning it too. So they had three programs in state championship games or series or matches in the spring sports. So a lot of athletes, you can kind of see that. Coach Helms mentioned the baseball and soccer players that they were missing over the course of the spring because of the deep run that they had in the playoffs. But yeah, it's just one of those schools, Smitty, where it's a 5A school. It's a big school with good facilities, a ton of students, a ton of opportunity. And I think that, you know, he mentions this. I'm not sure if it got cut out or not. You know, we were able to talk to Corey yesterday. But there are – he mentioned a running back that came back from Dutch Fork. I think that there are some kids that have interest that maybe have used the high school portal to move out of the Chapin area, that grew up there and still live there, that may be migrating back because Corey Helms is now the head coach.
Yeah, a lot of excitement. So you'll get a dose of that excitement right here coming up. Again, congratulations to all the baseball and softball and soccer and track, all the spring sports champions. We'll continue to celebrate those. That's why we are excited about the website, fourquarterfriday.com, because we want to give you more and more and more. Celebrate these coaches, celebrate these players, and just the accomplishments and the communities as well, because the more that we dig into and you continue to like cover things and talk to the coaches, you realize, oh man, it's not just what's going on with like 3 to 6 when they're at practice and everything and in the weight room. The community involvement in our state as well. And it's so exciting to see. So what I think I would say more than anything else to close this segment is the way I feel after having been back in the high school realm now for the last few months is I was just really concerned that people were going to be jaded. And by that, the coaches, I mean, you do see, yeah, there's the portal and there's kids being recruited and there's NIL. But then when you see them go out and play for the state championships and you see the community there and you witness what we just witnessed with Clinton and Luke Young, they're not a lot different than you and I were playing ball. So the more things change, it seems, the more they stay the same in high school athletics. We're happy to celebrate it. Corey Helms, kind of an old school guy. He's a young guy, but he's kind of an old school guy. Joins us next on the Leading Edge Guest Line. New head coach at Chapin. 0-10 last year. He's not going to stand for that in 2026. We'll talk to Corey Helms when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday.
Check the statewide high school scoreboard every Friday night on the Chief Sports app.
Welcome back to Four Quarter Friday. And as promised, we have got new Chapin head coach Corey Helms joining us. And many of you football fans are going to know the name from when Corey Helms was a player, but he has already carved out himself quite a coaching career in a very short time. Corey, we appreciate you taking some time to join us on Four Quarter Friday. We know it's a busy time of year, but it's always busy now with football. Always.
Yeah, it's well, first of all, thanks for having me. Summer's been good. It's been fun. Definitely busier than I'm used to in the summer with being at a bigger school, but it's been a good summer so far.
What was the spring like for you? I know that it's interesting. You talk about being at a bigger school. At any school, you're going to have to compete with other sports, you know, trying to get everybody out there. But in summer one or spring one for you, trying to get things together for the first time, what's it like to kind of get your eyes on these guys once they have helmets and shoulder pads on?
Yeah, we pushed spring back a little bit and then went later in May because of all the spring sports. But Chapin's really good at all of their spring sports. So we lost, like, we didn't get any of our baseball kids or our soccer kids out for spring practice. And we have probably 9 or 10, like, contributors, you know, that are varsity contributors that play baseball and soccer. So they both played for a state championship. So, but regardless, we still had 100 kids out there, just 10th through 12th graders. A lot of reps, a lot of work. You see it in March, like you go through your team stuff in March, but like you said, like until shoulder pads come on, you don't know who is actually physical and actually likes contact and whatnot. So you get a little more evaluation, but and then we played a legitimate spring game. I mean, we played an actual game against each other, and the winning team ate a nice buffet spread. We got to see them in kind of a game environment too. So it was a really good, productive spring.
Corey, we'll kind of look at what you have experienced as a coach in the past. What has brought you to this point? I think, you know, you're stepping into what I've called a sleeping giant, you know, an 0-10 year last year. But talk about what your experience has been as a coach, not necessarily Chapin's history, to kind of prepare you for a moment like this to revitalize what can be a power in 5A.
Yeah, I think that's helped me get the job. As I've been through a couple other programs in similar situations. When I went to Cardinal Newman, you know, they were 1-19 for 2 years before that, and went to Pelion, and they had won 2 games a couple years in a row. And so I've been in similar situations, you know, and I think that's definitely helped me.
Well, no, you've absolutely you've done the rebuild before, Coach, and tell us, if you would, about what you think you're going to instill in this program. In other words, kind of what's step one, step two from a football perspective? Where does Chapin have to get better so you don't duplicate what you did last year, instead build on the success?
Toughness and competition. Those are the two things we've been harping on. I mean, we got to be physically and mentally tough. And it's such a cliche, but, like, we have to live it, and we do it every day. You know, in May, we're, you know, doing our two hashes and teams, but we're doing goal line competitions and red zone competitions, and we're competing in the weight room. We're competing, like, everything that we're doing has some sort of competition aspect to it. Just trying to instill winning. Like, even like I mentioned, the spring game, like, the winning team ate a nice buffet and the losing team ate Uncrustables and Doritos. Like, we're rewarding winning, we're rewarding competition, you know, and that's what we got to get better at. I can just try to live it, and I think our guys they're buying into it, and they're doing a really good job.
Coach, talk a little bit about the staff that you put together. I know when you're in year one, and there's, for the record, maybe more year one coaching changes or head coaches across the state of South Carolina than I've seen in a long time. I'd have to go back, Smitty, and look at the actual numbers to see how this year stacks up. But it just seems like a ton of movement this last year. What, Coach, talk about a little bit of how putting that staff together has worked for you and some of the guys that you're excited about there.
Well, there's some really good guys from the previous staff that we've kept. We do have 9 new coaches across the different levels, like between varsity and B team and C team and all that. We have 9 new coaches, but we've got some really good people coming back. Also some really good coaches that are coming back that are just in different roles that I think they'll excel in, you know, and just really good dudes. And then we've also been fortunate to bring a couple guys in the building that have a lot of experience. And then bringing some guys that are not in the building, but have, you know, been coaching for a lot longer than I have, you know, some at the collegiate level and stuff like that, that, you know, bring a lot of experience to the table and a different kind of point of view you know, being at different places.
One of the things that you were able to do, Corey, when you were the head coach at Cardinal Newman, was kind of recruit the hallways. The programs got bigger. Just more people got excited about being a part of a football program. Is it going to be similar at Chapin? I mean, that's a large school. Are there more guys you think maybe are going to want to come out this fall now that they know they've got you and there's going to be some excitement around the program?
Sort of both. We got there's some guys that are coming out and playing that haven't played in the past. And then, you know, I like to use the analogy, but we're also trimming some fat right now. Some of the guys that, you know, like I call them sandwich eaters. Like we're making things difficult and that like you got to really buy into it and believe in it or you're not going to have fun. So we're also kind of getting rid of some of those guys too, but the numbers are really good. Numbers are not an issue in Chapin. We have so many kids that participate in football that, you know, now it's just getting the right kids. What's the Saban analogy? The right kids on the right, but on the bus and then the right kids in the right seat, you know, and that's kind of what we're doing right now.
I got to come out and see you guys on the Four Quarter Friday spring football tour. And one of the things that probably the number one thing that jumps off to me right off the page is just how much size you have. How is that encouraging for what you want to do specifically offensively, to walk in the door and have guys that are gonna at least stack up, if not be bigger than most of the people on your schedule?
Yeah, I mean, two things you can't really teach is size and speed. So one of them we got. We are big at every position. You know, everybody talks about size, like how big's your O-line and D-line, but we have a lot of really big kids at every position. Like we got multiple, you know, 6'2 to 6'4 receivers. We got, you know, all of our linebackers are 200 plus, and, you know, we got long kids on the D-line and, you know, big running backs. And like we have a lot of size at every position, which is nice. Offensively, yeah, that kind of fits into what I want to do. I want to be physical at the point of attack, and that doesn't always necessarily mean running the football every play. It's just being physical on the perimeter, being physical inside the box, and setting the standard in that range. But, yeah, we don't lack size. I will say, like, once we get to the younger kids, like, they're not as big, and we're not very deep. So, you know, we definitely need to stay healthy and whatnot, but we do have a lot of size. I think our O-line is going to average, you know, not average, but we'll be 6'6", 270 to, you know, 6'1", 300. Like, we got between 270 and 300 and 6'1 to 6'6 across the board. So, it's a good problem to have. We just got to get them tough. And they're young, too. I mean, our four out of our five O-linemen right now are all rising juniors.
Corey Helms joining us. This is year one at Chapin High School, and he was just talking about how big they are across the board. Also big at head coach, Corey. So let's talk about you and what you picked up as a player. Wake Forest, University of South Carolina, you go on to the NFL. Tell me about that, about like what you learned as a player, kind of when it stuck out to you that you thought you might take, you know, get into coaching, and all those lessons you learned being around all of those different minds that were coaching you at all those stops. How does that influence you today?
Yeah, I always wanted to coach. Coaching really has been kind of my goal since high school. I think the stops has helped too. You know, what people don't know is like I had in 5 years in college, I had five different O-line coaches. You know, so you know, everybody teaches it differently too. So you hear it from a lot of different angles and you can kind of pick and choose what you like the most. And, but I've always known I wanted to coach. I think I knew I could coach, I guess, when, especially like playing center, like I was making all the calls and I had to know everybody's assignment and I had some idiots next to me that I'm telling what to do every play. But, you know, so that, yeah, I've always had to know the game, you know, and, but I think from those experiences. I think that just the discipline of it and the everyday grind of it, like, has prepared me the most for it. You know, being prepared for everything. Obviously the discipline and accountability and everything you got to have to be a coach, you know, to be a good player, you have to have that too. And that's helped me a lot, I think.
You know, Corey, I'd like to hear about that offensive line play a little bit. You know, I'm just guessing, you talked about competition, physicality at the point of the attack and in the box. I'm just guessing you're a coach that emphasizes, hey, guys, we're going to win on third and three. You know, we got to pick those up, those kinds of plays to keep our offense on the field. So tell us a little bit about what you want the offensive line to do and how important is it to kind of think through things like as a center and those guys maybe on that line for you. How much do you expect out of them?
Yeah, our offensive line, our offensive line and our offensive line coach probably have the hardest positions and job on the field because we are very hard on them and we require a lot of them. You know, they have to do, we don't just down, kick out. You know, they're IDing threats and they're counting, you know, they're reading safeties. They're counting threats of four on protections and they're setting protections. And, you know, their ID calls could be depending on if a safety's playing 7 yards off the line of scrimmage or if he's playing, you know, 12 yards back, you know. So we don't just say down, kick out. Like they have to know a lot. And, we try to put them in the best position to be successful each play. So we do put a lot on their shoulders and, we go over a lot with them, but, so I guess that is the expectation. They got to be smart. They got to be into it. And when we go these periods in practice, like they got to be physical, like the standing up and shuffling around and playing patty cake, like that doesn't fly with our group. So, but like I said before, they're doing a really good job of it. Really good. Our kids are super hungry and we got a really good group up front, young group up front that I think has potential to be a really good group.
You know, it really helps. I'm not telling you anything here, but it really helps offensive line play when you have a special back who can create a little magic on his own. You mentioned this a minute ago, but when you walk onto the field to look at Chapin football in 2026, Harper Ellery jumps off the page to me, and he just kind of sticks out. Talk a little bit about the potential that this kid has at the running back position. Just for people who may not know that name yet, one of the things we always want to do is make sure that we're turning people's heads to the up-and-coming players because he is young.
Yeah, no, he is. He's already got a lot of – college is looking at him. He's close to 6 foot. He's, you know, close to 200 pounds. His lower body is really thick. He moves well. One of his best attributes too is how well he catches out of the backfield. And he started as a freshman at safety, and then he played the last half of the season as a freshman at slot receiver. And then you look at him and you're like, well, that's a running back if I've ever seen one. You know, he's got a chance to do some really good things with a big offensive line, and those two backs could do some good things in the run game. And he's a cool, tough kid that can do a lot of stuff. And as a wing back, a fullback, a running back in short yardage situations, great in pass protection. So we have three backs that can really play.
Corey Helms is in year one.
To have three backs.
Well, there you go. I think that's a hint right there. Former offensive lineman expects a lot of that out of the offensive line. Got to have three backs. That tells us a little bit about how the play calling is going to go this year. Also, Corey, hey, I'd like to hear about you and the state of South Carolina because you came out of Alpharetta, Georgia, and you went to Wake Forest initially. But then when you got recruited to South Carolina under Sean Elliott and you've been coaching here, so other than going to the NFL, it's been like you've been a Palmetto State guy. So tell us about this state and why you decided, you know, to make your life here because you could have left after college like some guys do.
Yeah. Well, I met my wife at South Carolina. She played volleyball there. And, you know, I got into coaching after playing and it was with Coach Muschamp at South Carolina. And, you know, it's just, it's really been home. It's kind of another cliche analogy or whatever, but I've been very fortunate to have good opportunities here. And, you know, this place has been really special to me. So that there was no reason to leave. And it is home. I mean, I would consider myself a Palmetto State guy now, but I'm a Georgia boy. Don't get me wrong, but no, it is home, and I don't ever plan on leaving.
Well, now wait, do you have our state flag or anything up there on the back of the truck, a sticker? I mean, do you have anything like that? You getting a tattoo, maybe?
No, I have plenty of tattoos, but I don't have the state flag. I might need to add that one.
Here's what we'll do. We'll have some Four Quarter Friday stickers sent over, because the state is there in the background. So that'll get you covered, so that you have not just the state of South Carolina, but you'll have our branding on there with you too.
All right. I put a Chapin football sticker on the back of my truck, and I guess it got ripped off. I live in a Dutch Fork neighborhood, so maybe somebody ripped it off my truck.
Well, fine. Yeah. That's right. That means there's a little friction. That's okay. There's just a little friction.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if I didn't put it on right and it fell off. But yeah, who knows?
All right, Corey, you're still a young guy too, head coach. I'm curious. Kind of two questions: are you still lifting heavy? You know, you've been a strength coach, so I wonder, are you still lifting heavy? And then, how many of the players know what your career was like and how far you made it? Because some of the old timers, you know, the kids don't always know, but, you know, you were in the news like just a couple of years ago. So how many of those guys know, and do they ever peek in on you in the weight room?
Up until a couple of years ago, I was lifting heavy. We had our daughter 2.5 years ago, and I've kind of been a little slacked in the weight room. I still have a torn rotator cuff, so not everything feels great anymore, but, I still lift here and there. I can still outlift all of our players. I'll never not be able to do that. And they know it. But we have some strong kids too. I think most of them know about my playing career. It's always kind of funny too when you see like the really young kids, like the middle school C team, B team kids, and you'll hear like a whisper, like, "Oh, he played at South Carolina." And they're like, "Really?" Like, you know, they don't, some of the really young ones don't really know, but most of our older kids kind of do.
It's always interesting as the years go on, Coach, to kind of see how things fade and shift, but the ability to connect with kids and to coach them is something that I think that you have in your arsenal. So it's good to have you right down the road. I'll tell one on myself a little bit, right down the road from me. Mm-hmm. It's been good to connect and get over there and see how you guys are building early in your tenure. When you look at the schedule, this will be the last one that I have submitted here, is there's a lot of changes schedule wise across the state this year. Obviously, year one at a new school for you, you're going to face some teams that you're familiar with and maybe some that you're not as much. How's the schedule impact your preparation, or are you just a business is business and we're going to play who's in front of us type of guy?
Yeah, the schedule doesn't impact it at all. We have a schedule that we stick to in terms of preparation, and that's what we do no matter who's on our schedule or when we play who or whatnot. You know, so we do have a last week bye, which is not the most fortunate. But I think the schedules were kind of coming out as, you know, maybe that was like a rookie hazing type thing. I don't know, but we do have a last week bye this year, which is fun. But what I like to say is it's just going to give us a little more fresh legs going into the playoffs. So, and I think we can do that.
All right, Coach, we really appreciate your time. You look great in powder blue. August 28th, Yeah, kickoff against Brooklyn Casey. We appreciate the time and enjoy your weekend.
August 21st will be Lugoff Elgin.
Okay, August 21st. Okay. You open up with Lugoff Elgin. All right.
August 21st. Yep. Yes, sir.
Well, that'll come fast. Enjoy the weekend, Coach.
I really appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, guys.
That is Coach Corey Helms from Chapin High School. We'll take a break. We'll recap that and talk more about the state championships that have been claimed here in the Palmetto State. And maybe we'll get a little more football intel from Rob Williams when we come back. This is Four Quarter Friday. And it's Four Quarter Friday. Matt Smith, Rob Williams. We are closing things out. Our thanks to Corey Helms, new head coach at Chapin High School. As he mentioned, August 21st, that's when a lot of teams will be kicking off. Rob, you and I will see plenty of football between now and then, however, because we're going to check out some practices, go to a lot of 7-on-7 showcases. As we roll out of here, reminder, Inside the Gamecocks is coming up next, and the Super Regionals are happening today. And while we have no in-state teams left, it was a tough regionals. You know, Coastal Carolina kind of got backed up with the rain, lost a tight win to Florida State 2-1. Wait and see if Kevin Schnall is going to continue at Coastal Carolina. Obviously, there's a lot of reports or a lot of smoke around potentially him taking the big job in Columbia. But obviously, a great season doing what they do, one of the best programs out there. Congratulations to the Citadel for making the regionals. I love what Russell Triplett is doing there. But what I wanted to mention is we do have a lot of players, Rob, from the state of South Carolina played their high school here that are participating in the Super Regionals. You've got three on the North Carolina roster. You've got three on the West Virginia roster. You've got one on the Troy roster. And you've got two on the Mississippi State roster, three on the Mississippi State roster, and two more on the Ole Miss roster. So and maybe we'll have time to go over some of those players on Inside the Gamecocks. So I'll let you, you know, cap off this week, and then what are you watching for this next week that's going to pop up on our morning minutes of Four Quarter Friday? What news are we watching?
You mentioned 7-on-7s. I'll be down at Shane Beamer football camp right after we get off the air here today. Get an eye on some of these in-state players. I got a chance to see several of them yesterday. There are some risers in the class of 27, and then getting a look at some of these younger 28s and 29s as well. I'll mention one, Malik Ratliff, a receiver, played at South Point last year, at Northwestern this year, who's gaining some attention. He got an NC State offer earlier in the month, or maybe last week, camped at Clemson, at South Carolina this week, grabbing a little bit of attention. Maybe some smoke there around him continuing to rise up the board. Just a guy that we mentioned months ago. Continue to pay attention to him as he gets onto people's boards. 2027 kid, and we'll have plenty, Smitty, in the 2028s and 2029s to talk about as well. It's been a fun Friday as always here in the Hewitt Domodurus Studios, HD Law Studios, HDLawSC.com. Appreciate you for captaining the ship, as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Chief Sports Network, Inside the Gamecocks coming up. We will tweet out those players' names that you can watch for that played at high schools, Chapin High School, Catawba Ridge High School, all across our state, Socastee High School. They are in the Super Regionals, not playing for South Carolina or Clemson or Coastal or Citadel or any of those teams, but they are still in action. Players that learned the game of baseball under our coaches here in the Palmetto State are playing in the Super Regionals. We'll tweet those out. Enjoy the Super Regionals. Enjoy your weekend. Inside the Gamecocks is next.